Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 724. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Asian Fox Mulder, the three-legged feline, is right behind me on the couch, soaking up the sun rays. As it's early in the morning, the sun's really coming in through this room. And he likes the warmth, laying there on the comforter. His eyes are closed, but he's kind of paying attention to what I'm doing. His ears are popping up. It is 4th of July as I'm recording this. America's 250th anniversary. And, yeah. The big news, I think, is, for me at least, the reel. You go on YouTube, if you haven't already seen it, go on YouTube, check out The Real InfoWars. Tim Heidecker of the Tim and Eric show that was on Adult Swim is running InfoWars now. And at The Real InfoWars on YouTube, they've released their first video, like big video on there. And I think maybe they're supposed to release another one tonight. There's supposed to be a live stream tonight, possibly. I think maybe I saw something to that effect, but as by the time I post this, that maybe they'll have another big video out. But the first one, pretty fantastic. There's a small video inside there that they keep playing on loop and debating as Tim Heidecker does his best Alex Jones. But they have a video of seeing Alex Jones in his vehicle recording a show, because apparently that's often what he does these days. I guess since, you know, he doesn't have the InfoWars studio anymore, that he's also had to rebrand. But somebody's like in the video, "Hey, is that Alex Jones?" And they walk up to it, and then he explodes inside the vehicle. And of course, Tim Heidecker is talking to like an expert witness that is a, or not witness, but expert, like doctor or something of this sort, that he's asking, is it possible to explode from overeating and that sort of thing? then the doctor, expert is saying that no, it has to be an explosive device on the outside, that he's not blowing up from the inside. But then a worker at Whataburger calls in to say that Alex Jones, not too long before he explodes, had gone to Whataburger and had a fuck ton of food, and that he felt somewhat responsible for Alex Jones blowing up. So my reenactment of it is just nowhere near actually, you know, watching the video and having Tim Heidecker do it. So do check out The Real InfoWars on YouTube. As of right now, as of recording this, the InfoWars.com website is just still saying just off air. Just those two words. You go to it, it just says that. I believe they're still having some issues trying to take over the domain, as it were. That being The Onion. And but if you go to TheOnion.com, they have the link to the store where you can buy all the Onion swag. But they have a page on there for InfoWare, where you can, it's theonion.infoWare, and You can get shirts with the new InfoWars logo, with the O being the onion, and in the rainbow colors. So, because they're not just turning just... they're no longer just turning the frogs gay. It's the whole shebang. And I'm here for it. They've got a hoodie, a shirt, a tote bag, some clear shades, and there's an InfoWars fanny pack, a couple of different hats, and they've got a few items that they're sold out of, unfortunately. There's which I don't see it listed, but one of the videos I saw on the ads in the real InfoWars YouTube page was for Hogwater. I don't see any Hogwater being sold on here. I was really hoping for the green flavor. And see here, some of the items they're sold out of here. It's unlock the secret wealth stream. Turn your piss into gold. Apply now. It's two different things for that about turning your piss to gold. So I guess, unfortunately, I'm not going to figure out how to turn my piss into gold. As it's a kind of pricey for either one of those, is $349.95. So, but hey, if I can make money off of it, then I'm not really even paying that, right? Like, that's just, you gotta pay, you gotta pay money to make money. And then they're also sold out of Puro Oxygen capsules. It's, I saw an ad for it, but I don't really recall it. It's, you know, just a capsule of pure oxygen. Not a bogus product whatsoever. There's a Learn to Float thing that they're also sold out of, which is a shame. It says, Learn to Float, Discover the Secret. And I used to have dreams for a long time that I was floating. I don't anymore. I guess when I was a child and such. Maybe I thought I was above people back then. I don't know what the reason why I could... You know what, actually? I think I know why. I think I know why I dreamt that. I used to watch the My Secret Identity a lot with Jerry O'Connell. I think that was probably it. Because he could float in the show. And he used those aerosol cans. I'm betting that's probably more why I would have that dream. This is, you know, post Stand By Me. So Jerry O'Connell had lost the weight by that point. My Secret Identity. Oh, that was a great show. but I thought in my dreams, like, ooh, I'm going to figure out how to do this in real life, just to float on. And to Modest Mouse did it. And no, I've yet to float in outside of a dream. I haven't tried the Jenny from Forrest Gump. I haven't tried to stand on top of a ledge and, you know, just like think about like, oh, I'm going to do it. Well, she didn't jump off though. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Forrest Gump. but they're also sold out of Demon Guard, which is a shame. Which, side note. To Learn to Float, it was only $129.99, so $130 to learn to float, but it sold out. So, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people that want to learn how to float. but they're also sold out of the Demon Guard. So I guess the demons are coming for me tonight, as I cannot get myself a Demon Guard patch. It is $47.95 for the Demon Guard, but again, sold out. Unfortunately, and here's the description on that. Are demons preventing you from liberty and happiness? It's nothing to be ashamed of. The wicked often prey on the righteous. Demon Guard is an easy-to-wear patch that secretes holy water and minerals harvested from the Jordan River and the Sea of Galilee, guaranteeing 24-hour protection from all dark entities. Each patch is blessed by a patriotic ordained minister so you can walk your path in divine comfort. The patch is looks like a Band-Aid, but it's in a cross. And there's lightning on the on the packaging of it. It is so unfortunately I can't protect myself from dark entities. So that's a goddamn shame. They do have a description here on the Learn to Float, which I'm very interested in. Again, but just to float, you know, I don't want to like soar and fly. Just to float, you know, like a couple inches off ground. That's all I want. I don't need. I don't need flying like that. It seems like a bit dangerous. But if I could float a few feet off the ground, that's pretty great. Which I think in my dreams, that's all I could do is just like kind of slightly hover. I couldn't like fly. It was just like floating. Somehow I learned how to float. Anyway, floating is an age-old tradition that was practiced by our ancestors for thousands of years until authoritarians wiped it out in favor of obedience and the control system of technocratic overlords. Well, now you can learn the ancient practice of floating once again. Floating has many benefits. It flushes spirits from your system, resets your mind, and deep cleans your organs. Just to name a few. Each Learn to Float kit comes with a rope, 5 rosewood coal briquettes, and an instruction DVD. What is the rope for if I'm actually floating? Not to mention the 5 rosewood coal briquettes. Do you burn the rope? Is that with the... you know, I'm going to read the oxygen capsules because this one had a pretty great commercial. It is over 1 million Americans aren't getting enough pure oxygen, which is a necessary gas for emotional stability and vein health. These simple swallow capsules capsules combined with white coal and trace minerals to provide optimal absorption and full mind maximization. Just one Puro capsule will give you enough oxygen to stop breathing for 1 hour. So save time and take control of your lungs with Puro. Order today. How I'd love to get me some Puro. So yeah, check out Real InfoWars on YouTube, on the YouTubes, and that's classic shit, man, classic shit. Other than that, besides watching InfoWars yesterday, which I've been on, you know, I didn't work Friday because the holiday. That's the day I got because 4th of July, which I'm the day I'm recording this is on a Saturday, so I got off Friday for the holiday. And it's kind of a blur to me because I did a lot of sleeping. I was a little beat up. The work was hard. It was really hot inside work, and I've got a heat rash that I've been trying to get rid of. So I slept a lot. But I did yesterday go with Muffin Man because his birthday is... His birthday is the 5th, so tomorrow, or the day I put this out. we went and saw the Supergirl movie, and it was entertaining. Man, I did get sleep before going to see it. And I had a Red Bull in me, but damn, like near the like the last half hour of the movie, I was fighting off dozing off. So it was a bit sad. Once upon a time, you know, I went to the movie theater all the time, and I did not have a problem of dozing off. But Supergirl, I don't think it was the fault of the movie. It's just. I blame it on the tough week at work, where I was just it was a little rough, you know. But I'd say the movie was entertaining. If you liked the James Gunn Superman movie, which I think James Gunn directed the movie, the Superman, not the Supergirl. I can see clear. Yeah, James Gunn did direct that. That's what I thought. But the Supergirl was actually not directed by James Gunn. But, you know, James Gunn is essentially the Kevin Feige of the DC world now, which James Gunn did the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, which are, you know, fantastic, especially the first one. But the director of this one is Craig Gillespie. You know, I'm sure James Gunn was around for parts of it. Yeah, it's entertaining. I don't really have a whole lot to say about it. I was just like, yeah. I'm trying to remember what all previews we saw. Was there... I don't think there was one for the new Evil Dead, which comes out July 10th. Evil Dead Burn. I don't recall seeing ones that... I'm like, oh man, I got to see that. Unfortunately, I thought I was in the clear when I started recording because there wasn't any lawn mowing going on. But you know, you start recording this early in the day. That's you know, can often be an issue in the summertime because it's you know. There tends to be some of that going on, and I'm a little distracted, unfortunately. Now I gotta wonder, should I pause for a while? I'm thinking it may be a bit of a distraction. I'm gonna try to muscle through. Hopefully it's not coming out too bad on the recording. that is not annoying at all. maybe if I just pot the microphone down and just get really up on it, just get really into it, that'll kind of hide the sound a little bit as I just put my mouth right over the microphone and just kind of, you know, throat it a little bit. I think it's slightly picking up less of the lawnmower, but I got to be careful because if I hit the microphone, I mean, I'm right next to it, smack it with like the headphones and whatnot. Could be a little distracting. Yeah. So, I should be going to see the fireworks later on. Speaking of 4th of July, is bring back to that, I guess. They, of course, you know, do the here in Washington, Missouri. Got the fireworks over at Lions Lake. Go over to my friends John and Megan's. They live right behind the park there. And so I'll probably head on over there. That was the plan, at least. As I slept a bunch, and I'm talking about falling asleep at the movie theater, and here I am fighting back a yawn. I'm just old and tired at this point. And I did have a Red Bull not too long before recording this. So caffeine's apparently not helping me out a whole hell of a lot. As there I go, hitting the fucking mic stand again. Son of a bitch. Try to not move my head. Oh, The Odyssey. That was one of the trailers I had seen. The Spider-Man Brand New Day, which... I don't see myself going to the theater to see the Odyssey. You know, I'll watch it eventually. Spider-Man Brand New Day, I'll probably see that one in the theater. It comes out at the end of the month. It looks like July 31st. So, I'll see that one most likely in the theater. As Tom Holland's got to be like, I was thinking about it because he was in his like early 20s, I think, when he first donned the Spider-Man costume, but I would venture to guess he's in his 30s now because he's been playing him for a while. He might be the longest running, or you know, the actor to play Spider-Man for the longest at this point. I did see, which I was excited about, Michael Mando is in Spider-Man Brand New Day. I love me some Michael Mando. He was Nacho. Was it Nacho Verde? Oh, I don't think Verde. Verde means like green salsa. Like, But he's Nacho Varga. That's very Nacho Varga in Better Call Saul. He was fantastic. Of course, he was in Far Cry 3 as the bad guy in that, which apparently he's... I haven't played Far Cry 6, but apparently he's in that too. But yeah, Nacho Varga in Better Call Saul. And just great. Just enjoy him. That Better Call Saul, he's fantastic in that. Absolutely fantastic. Nacho Varga. I don't really remember a whole lot about the trailer, honestly. I guess I could have watched it right before doing this. Basically, I just remember Michael Mando being in there. And, Frank Castle, the Punisher, makes an appearance, as well as Bruce Banner, played by Mark Ruffalo, who's been playing Bruce Banner for a minute at this point, as not too long after the Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton, then Mark Ruffalo ended up taking over that character. So by the first Avengers movie, it was Mark Ruffalo but it looks to be decent. I mean, the Tom Holland era Spider-Man movies have been decent. Well, pretty much I'd say Spider-Man movies have been decent. I mean, you get the Sam Raimi, who I love me some Sam Raimi. I just actually got on Amazon. I thought about just paying to stream it, but it was like $15, I think, to own the license to stream Darkman. I wanted to see me some Darkman. I hadn't seen it in a long time, and since after watching all of the Evil Dead again, and Send Help, the latest Sam Raimi film, I was like, you know what, I need to go back and watch me some Darkman. And I didn't want to pay $15. Seemed a bit much just to have a license to stream it. And I was like, you know what? They've got some cheap Blu-rays on Amazon. And so I checked it out. And for $9, I could get a Blu-ray of the whole Darkman trilogy. Now, Sam Raimi, I believe, is only involved in the first Darkman. But I think I've seen Darkman 2. I don't know that I ever saw Darkman 3. If I remember correctly, the first one's the only decent one. But one of my first memories of watching Liam Neeson in a film, at least as a lead. And it's not Raimi's... It's not his best, but it's an entertaining film. You get some Ted Raimi in there, and a Bruce Campbell cameo at the very end. Doesn't say a word, but spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Dark Man, at the very end, of course, Liam Neeson is... at the very end, he's like running away, basically. His love, played by Frances McDormand, is she wants to go back with him. The whole premise of the movie, of course, is Liam Neeson is this scientist, Peyton Westlake, that has done all this research into synthetic skin. And basically making masks that can look like, different faces, which I always found this funny, because you got this sort of same premise with the movie Face Off, that it's just the skin that makes somebody's face their face. Like, in Face Off, they explain it away a little bit more. Like, they say that, they do add in some fat and stuff to change. Because your skin doesn't really affect the look of your face so much. It's all about, muscles and bone structure that, keep the shape of the face, you know. Sure, your skin color and tone and stuff affect your look, but in reality, it's there's fat, skin, or, you know, fat, bone, muscle, these sorts of things that really change the shape of the face. So it's kind of funny that just a skin mask would... Now, for Liam Neeson to look like Liam Neeson after his face has been burnt off, that makes sense, to just have skin to go over his fucking face. But the fact that, again, the premise is that he makes a synthetic skin, and at the beginning, one of the main villains there, played by Colin Friels, or no, not him, sorry, Larry Drake, who was, I think, on L.A. Law, and anyway, Larry Drake, playing Robert G. Durant, goes to kill Liam Neeson, and fails to do so. It just burns him really bad. They think he's dead, but he's just burnt really bad and goes into hiding. And then creates these masks where he can look like anybody he wants to. He ends up looking like this gang of criminals that killed him. And he's goes in and, you know, pretends to be them and whatnot. And there's... the movie's pretty classic. It's classic, but the premise that you could just like make this fake skin and then turn into these people, but also like a lot of these people he pretends to be, these other criminals, are really heavy set and pretty overweight compared to one Liam Neeson, which at the very least you would think he would need like some kind of fat suit or something to really look the part, but you never see him do that. He just puts the mask on and all of a sudden he is overweight and his height and everything changes. It's quite remarkable what synthetic skin can do for you. That being said, though, I mean, it's, you know, Sam Raimi, classic stuff. It's very Phantom of the Opera, where he's just hiding this grotesque face and whatnot. And most of the time he's in bandages when he's not wearing a synthetic skin mask. The hat and whatnot gives him very like Phantom of the Opera vibes. And it's one of the like early, this is 1990 when that came out. It was like an early superhero-esque film, you know, because he can't feel pain and stuff, so he can take, you know, a lot of damage and just keep on walking. But damn, it's definitely this has got to be the first time I've watched it in, you know, probably like 20 or more years, maybe 30. It's been a long time since this movie came out. I know I watched it when it originally came out, of course. It is a classic film. It is. Oh man, I didn't realize Sam Raimi. I'm looking at this IMDb here. I didn't know Sam Raimi was in Spies Like Us. He had a small part in there. As I guess he just made some sort of cameo in there. I don't know. I haven't seen Spies Like Us in a very long time. Maybe he had a bigger part. I don't know. As he's in Miller's Crossing as well. Oh shit. As Sam Raimi does look a lot like his brother Ted, and I guess Ivan Raimi probably, I would imagine, also looks very much like you know, the Raimis. They all look very much like each other. Anyway, The picture of Ivan Raimi, he looks a bit different, but he's a lot older picture of Ivan, and he's bald in this picture. I like Drag Me to Hell, too, the Sam Raimi film. That's another just classic film with Justin Long, Alison Lohman. And I need to go back and watch that one. I think I might have that on Blu-ray. I have a physical copy of that somewhere. Which, speaking of physical copies, this is a sad time to be living in, as Sony has announced they're doing away with physical copies of games, which I'm not shocked that they're finally pulling the plug on that. As like all these video game companies for quite the long period now have been moving away from physical media. And I would imagine it's a lot more expensive to actually produce physical copies of stuff that, you know, the size of these files for games, just with the current disk space, which I think they've got created newer stuff to where you could potentially put these massive files onto like one disk. Anyway, neither here nor there. You know, the video game companies are moving strictly to straight downloads on games, only digital downloads, and you're only owning a license for the game, so you don't own the game. You can't say let a friend borrow it, or, you know, buy a used copy of it. Can't do that because it's strictly digital download now, which sucks. You know, I grew up in an era. You know, the beginning of video games, really. I mean, they came out a couple of years before I was born. Born in 81. And the Atari, I believe, was already out by that time. I don't remember what year exactly the Atari came out. But, you know, I remember kind of vaguely when the NES came out. Was it 84 or 85-ish? You know, some of my first memories came to be. I don't remember what year my family got it, but we got the, you know, NES, played a fuck ton of that, and throughout the years, you know, I owned quite a few different systems, and it's weird to think that kids nowadays, you know, which currently, I mean, there is still some physical copies. Sony has said they're going to stop manufacturing discs, I think, by 2028. But now, even now, though, like games that are coming out, quote unquote, physical copies, you're just buying a case that has the digital code in it for the fucking download, which the only benefit of that is, I guess, for children to get presents for their birthday and or Christmas, where, you know, you want to wrap something and put it under the tree. I mean, that's the only benefit I can really see to doing that. Unless, I guess, I do have a friend that doesn't trust using his debit card online, that would prefer to go to stores. He has the Xbox, and he would prefer to go to the store and buy basically a gift card for the Xbox when he like downloads games on there, buys that, and then just puts in the code for the gift card. So for my one friend and people that want to give their kids gifts, it makes sense, I guess, to throw out a box with a code in it. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it sucks to not have a physical copy of something, and also you're not gonna own the game. That game, because it's just a download and you're playing it off a server. Well, even if, I mean, with a download, of course, if you have it downloaded to your system, theoretically, you'll have it until that system goes kaput, or you know, you have to erase it to make more room to play a different game. That's the real kicker these days, is these games are so huge, you can only have so many games on your system at once. And if you delete it and they quit having that game on their servers, then you're kind of fucked. No longer do you have it. And that's a damn shame. I just kind of miss the days of hell, the cartridges. I mean, discs were one thing, and I, you know, I like being able to just period have the physical copy to where the whole game, not, you know, and never having to worry about like updates and shit, but you have the full game on a disc or a cartridge. You can plug and play. So basically, you put the cartridge in. You don't have to worry about how much memory is left on your system. You don't have to worry about doing an hour-long download before you can play the fucking game. Even with, you know, the way games come now with the disc, you can't straight up and play the game when you first get it. You still have to download a bunch of shit before you can play the game. It's really annoying. You know, growing up, they still had, when I was a kid, there was still movie rental places everywhere. And you could go in and just rent games and go home, plug it into your system, play it immediately. And you could have like three or four games. And again, you wouldn't have to download anything. So you could just swap between games like no big deal. And it's like, you can't do that shit anymore. The games are so fucking expensive. You have to choose one game. You can't like do these multiple games since you're not renting them. And it's just sucks, you know. I'm just an old man. I'm bitching about. I did see a TikTok. My buddy Jimmy Cro-Magnon had sent me that there was a fella saying that we need to create an Amish-like community where we have like a area where it's, you know, like back in time, that, you know, like the Amish, that the real strict Amish that don't use modern conveniences, where it's like horse and buggy sort of situation. You know, building the houses with just like hammer and nails and like a team of people to like pull up the you know, lift up the structures with like ropes and shit. But, you know, it wouldn't be that far back. What we would do is have a community where it's basically the 90s, like 80s, 90s era, which I think we keep with the 90s. We don't need to go too far back. 90s, maybe even early 2000s. And maybe just like, I think we still need the iPod. So whatever year the iPod originally came out, let's go with the... Maybe throw that in there. But having, you know, video rental places, I think, and like physical media, that is the big part for me, is being able to do that. And I guess the idea too would be to get rid of social media and all that shit and get that off and just go back to physical stuff. Unfortunately, you know, in my head that sounds great in some respects, but then you know, I there's so many people I only am in contact with via like a messenger and whatnot. I don't have people's phone numbers anymore. There's I'm kind of stuck in there. It's great in theory. Also you would need quite a few people to go in on this. Oh man, I would definitely go work at Blockbuster. I would go, fuck yeah, go hang out at the video rental place. I mean, you can still have movie theaters doing the old, you know, 35mm film or what have you. And that's great. Man, I saw a Linus Tech Tips, I think, is the YouTube page I saw that, speaking of like movies, and they had gotten a projector from it wasn't an IMAX, I don't think, but it was a massive fucking projector, movie theater projector, and just huge. Which I won't ever be going this far. They got it for like $20,000. Which, yeah, I would not spend that much money on a projector. especially since I don't have the room for that kind of a projector here. But Which, fun fact, I did see that my projector has gone down a lot. I know I looked at Amazon at one point. It was up to like 2,700 or 2,800, somewhere in that vicinity. The tariffs had really shot it up. But it's down to 1,800 now for the projector I have. The XJimmy Aura 2, I think, is the model that I have. Not that I need another one, but it's pretty awesome. I want to say I spent like maybe $2,400, if that, maybe a little less. I don't remember how much I actually paid for it. I'd have to go back through my Amazon shit to find out. I know I didn't spend $2,700 on it. I know that. Anyway, the projector that they had gotten was just massive, and I think they did have a manual that they finally got to. It was like a auction is how they got that projector. And so it wasn't like straight from the manufacturer or anything like that. And I think they found a manual somehow. But initially they were just like opening the boxes and kind of had a vague idea of what things worked. And let's see here. Movie theater. Let's just find out projector light bulb. Let's see here. It is the light that was inside there is the xenon light. I wanted to make sure I got the name of it. I think it was a xenon bulb. Yeah, let's find out some which xenon bulbs are dangerous. They had shown some video of them exploding. They can explode. Which I guess they had gotten a xenolite? I'm not sure. Anyway. See here, I gotta copy and paste this shit. Xenolite. There's some dangerous shit though. It's fucking, they look insane. But they had opened up these boxes with the projector inside it and gotten to the place that had the bulb. And it was locked where the bulb was. And they were going to just like bust the lock off. And but they found the key for it. And we're in there just like touching the bulb and shit. Not realizing just how dangerous they were, but then they found the manual and it was like, oh, you should be wearing like a Kevlar vest and shit with this because these things are super fucking dangerous. Here's a subreddit about changing the projector bulb of the movie theater I work for in half the plastic casing so it doesn't bump anything and become a hand grenade. they realized after the fact, like, holy shit, we shouldn't have been like, you know. I mean, they didn't even too crazy in there, but yeah, it's very dangerous. Should not be. There's no way I'd own one of these, even if I had a fuck ton of money. That is just too dangerous. I will just go to a movie theater if I want that high of a quality projector. Anyway, it says here, I seem to remember being told not to touch the bulbs when I was in the theater in high school. Why would it become a bomb? And the replies here, super duper compressed xenon gas. Which is what makes the whole shebang possible. If I'm not mistaken, it doesn't explode with fire, just force. Glass shards everywhere, possibly some short-lived fire, depending on how much oxygen comes in contact with at the time of the explosion. The force is enough to bow out the sides of the metal projector should the bulb explode while housed in the unit. It's not crazy dangerous. That sounds pretty dangerous to me, but it's not something to be messing around with either. I'm sure a bulb explosion could kill someone within a few feet with no protection. That sounds pretty crazy dangerous to me. Just saying. Oils from your fingers can cause issues when directly handling the glass, so we pretty much always use gloves and only handle the metal. The oils can get hotter faster than the glass, and that's where things get kind of sticky. I want to see if anybody has a story in here about them blowing up. See here. So I guess they're saying people's digital protectors not use the bulbs. They still need the bulbs, but I never changed them anyway. The real magic was threading the film through these things, which make sure the film goes through at the right speed without breaking it. Let you adjust the picture. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. well, here we go. Here's maybe some good stuff here. As a student, I worked in a cinema with the carbon arc projectors. You had to constantly monitor the projector to ensure that the winding mechanism was pushing the rod forward at the right rate to maintain the arc. You could also get a condition where the arc would spin around the end of the rod, and you could get a beat frequency with the frame rate of the film, resulting in a noticeable flickering on the screen. I recall one evening where a patron came out from the cinema and told me the screen had gone black. Several hundred people were sitting in a totally dark room and had been for several minutes. The projectionist had fallen asleep and the carbon rod hadn't kept up with its rate of burn, leaving to the arc extinguishing. Much fumbling ensured to try and replace the rod quickly. They're pretty dangerous, though. These xenon lights, I guess. Xenon bulbs. When they finally did get that thing working, though, they did have it working. And it didn't look so good because initially they had a room where it wasn't dark. And regardless of how good the projector is, you kind of need to get rid of natural light to really see a good projection, you know? This is the real downside, I guess, to using projectors. Which, you know, once you get the light out, you're good to go. Like, I've pretty much gotten all natural light down out from my downstairs. And the projector looks pretty fucking sweet down there. I don't have a xenon bulb, thankfully. my projector is nowhere near big enough for that. Those things are pretty big, I do believe. I don't know what kind of bulb is in there. I know over time that you might have to replace them, but I'm thinking if I do use mine enough to where I have to replace any bulb or anything that's in there, that there's a good chance that, you know, it'd probably be just cheaper for me to buy a new projector, you know, especially if that particular model keeps going down in cost. That burn that shit out. Might as well just buy a new one. But I don't know. We'll cross that bridge if we ever get to it. I don't use it that often, so I'm thinking it should last for years to come, hopefully. As I don't want to have to spend $1,800 to buy a new one. Rather not. But I'm definitely not going to put another TV down there instead of a projector. I got the screen painted on the wall. That's just not good. But I tell you what, having the light up poster frames down there has worked out very well, as I don't have to keep any of the other lights on there bright enough to where I can see enough to like walk around down there. And it doesn't put a whole lot of light onto my projector screen, which is my wall, to where I can leave those lights on while I'm watching movies on the projector. So I can actually see what's around while the projector's going, and I don't have to turn any other lights on. So it's worked out fairly well. Pretty pleased with that. Pretty pleased. Maybe it's not as exciting as, say, turning my piss into gold, but... now I see what the difference... The difference is on the InfoWars thing. There's two different things. I thought they were both turning your piss into gold, but it's reverse on one of them. One is turn your gold into piss. Oh, you're gonna have to go back to this InfoWars. Okay, let's read the. I didn't read the descriptions for those earlier. This is a turn your piss into gold for $349.95. Scientists have unlocked a secret that has been hidden for centuries. Stop pissing away your wealth. Sign up today for a free appraisal jug to see if your urine can be turned into pure American gold. Urine must be at least 1 week old. Only male urine will be accepted. Sorry, women. It's just not your day. Can't turn your piss into gold. Is it the is there testosterone in your piss? What is it? What is it? Oh, then the opposite is turn your gold into piss, which I'm sure so much more people are going to be interested in this option. Does finding a secure place to store your hard-earned gold keep you up at night? Big banks can't be trusted, and urban burglars may strike at any time. That's why you should turn your gold into piss. It's the ultimate way to hide gold. Just put your ingots and bars in a bucket and urine, then drop in two our patented a little bit of a typo here, but I'm assuming they mean to say, and urine, then drop in two of our patented tablets. There is, they missed the of. In 24 hours, your gold will be piss. Order now and receive a free storage jug. I would think we would need a lot of piss to equal one gold bar, though. Unless this is, how is this? I've got a lot of questions. And I'm not going to find out the answers because it's sold out. This is a big problem. I'm not going to know how to turn my gold bars into piss. And this is something that I have to be done, or I have to do, apparently, to in order to, you know, keep my gold bars safe. I need that, need those piss bars into piss. And I don't apparently have that option at the moment. But hopefully it's got enough fanfare here, and that we'll be able to, that enough people are into it, even after it's been sold out, that eventually the real InfoWars will get this shit back in stock. As, we'll see, though. We'll see. It has been good to have Mr. Tim Heidecker, though, as doing the Alex Jones. I don't know, he keeps doing that voice so long. It really hurts my voice gravelly. My throat is hurting already. Speaking like it. But they go into in the InfoWars, the first video I've seen, they do go into great detail that perhaps it was not Alex Jones himself, but a clone of Alex Jones that did explode. This is there may have been multiple clones of Alex Jones throughout the years. When we first discovered that 9/11 was an inside job, that may not have been the original Alex Jones. That is, of course, what put him on the map.
Yeah, that hurts my voice.
That's rough. Hopefully Tim Heidecker has gotten a vocal coach to teach him the vocal fry, how to do it properly. I haven't seen Heidecker take his shirt off while doing it. I feel like if you're going to do Alex Jones,
you kind of need to rip your shirt off. Be naked on the top half, like Vladimir Putin. All of his promo pics.
Speaking of Putin, man, hopefully that fucker dies soon. I mean, it does sound like, you know, possibly there may be a mutiny here soon. Hopefully. I mean, there started to be one. It was exciting, though, when the Wagner group, you know, marched towards Moscow with Yevgeny Prigozhin, who would not have been somebody that would have been good to lead Russia. I don't know that there would be anybody to take over from the military that would be like a plus side for anybody, really. But to see Vladimir Putin gone would be, you know, an amazing day. But, you know, Prigozhin famously just, you know what? We're good. We're just going to stop here. We're going to And then he was killed in an explosion on a plane not too long after that. I think, you know, if he would have had the foresight to realize what was going on, well, one, maybe he wouldn't have been flying around planes still in Russia. Maybe it would have been smarter to just like flee at that point after basically leading a coup against Putin, which I'm very curious to wonder to know what was going on behind the scenes there. They were able to march pretty far into Russia before stopping and deciding, you know what, maybe a coup's not a great idea. But I feel like any day now they're going to arrest Putin, or, you know, he might fall out of a window. There's very, you know, that's a common problem in Russia. There's a lot of windows. They're very high up, and people just have a tendency to fall right out. And I feel like Putin might have that issue, you know. He's in maybe perhaps one of his massive properties, his mansions, his mega mansions, as apparently he could potentially be one of the richest people in the world. He's thought to be possibly the richest, above Elon Musk, you know, who is unfortunately a trillionaire now. It's fucked up that one person can have that much wealth. Just not right. Anyway, I digress. It is July 4th as I am recording this. Got to get myself prepared for some fireworks. I won't be shooting any off, but I will watch it later. Unless I'm too tired. I'm pretty fucking tired. It is early though. 10:05. I do have some other shit I need to do today. There's like a gnat or something flying around me now. What the fuck? I would just like to, you know, go watch some movies though, and hopefully not pass out while doing so. I don't know that I'll have time to watch any movies. I did watch X-Men 97. The season 2 has started on Disney Plus, and the first season was fantastic. You know, I grew up like teenage years, really. I was reading X-Men comics like nonstop. And so like 90s X-Men and early 2000s, that shit was the bomb, which I guess was mainly more 90s. I was reading it because by the time, I think I probably stopped collecting when I was about 20-ish. I don't really recall. But yeah, they maybe it was even before 20, like 18. My teenage years, basically, I was collecting comics, we'll say. And the latest in season 2, you're getting Apocalypse, who was my favorite enemy in the X-Men universe. And you're getting a lot of Apocalypse, which was at the end of X-Men 97 season 1. And it's there at the beginning of season 2. And it looks like they're leaning towards going into the Age of Apocalypse, which was my favorite storyline of all time with the X-Men. Really enjoy the Age of Apocalypse. And, you know, that now I've got the X-Men theme song from the cartoon stuck in my head. Yeah, something like that. Which apparently was actually, I think I remember reading or seeing a video where they were saying that actually was theme music to something else, like a Japanese cartoon or something previously, unrelated to the X-Men, that they just basically took it from, whatever. But it's always going to be X-Men to me. Always X-Men. I love the fact that they found, or they still had a lot of the original voice actors from the cartoon series from the 90s in the X-Men 97. And the animation's just the same. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool shit. You know, make me feel like a child again. I would have been 16 in 97. But I don't remember what year that X-Men cartoon initially came out. It was before 97, I thought. But yeah, I'm not sure. I think that they call it, I don't know. I just have to look all that shit up. As X-Men 97, though, it is. Let's look up some trivia. No, it's not showing me. Where the fuck is the trivia? Oh, it was 92 is when it originally came out. So yeah, I would have been 11 when that came. I was gonna say I thought I was pretty young when that that cartoon came out. Which Kevin Feige basically had two conditions when they did that show. The original X-Men of 92 voice cast had to return, which is awesome. Two, the rights for the theme song of X-Men 92 had to be obtained. It was. there's other things. The name of the series contains a typo, purposefully or otherwise. What should be an apostrophe is instead a single open quotation mark. The font makes the distinction somewhat subtle on the main title screen, though the error is very clear in the end credits, which use a different font. It's just all about the font. I want to know more. I'd rather just know. I don't give a shit about having a typo in there, you fuckers. God damn it. Fucking IMDb's got a lot of pop-ups. Yeah. Oh, wow. Voices were recorded at the same studio as X-Men 92. But man, yeah, I just love the fact with the X-Men 97 that they're using all these storylines from the X-Men comics of the 90s, which is awesome. But my voice is getting a little rough here, possibly due to talking like Alex Jones, or just the fact that I've been talking for over an hour now. Maybe a combination of all of the above. So that's really all I've got here. Yeah, I don't think I have anything else. So, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.